that makes this thinking possible. What we want to see is the reality underlying consciousness. Consciousness has been a concept without any reality. The question that asks what is the origin of consciousness has not even been asked, because it was always taken for answered. Namely, the basis, the origin of consciousness is motion, the motion of the world. But this is a superstition. It can never be proven. It is just an overall assumption. Why do we need this assumption? An assumption means, of that kind, means it is an illusion. So we produced an illusion again. An illusion can only be produced, as we have seen, by free beings. An illusion is an invention. Just an illusion, even if it has much of the delusion in it, and just when it has much of a delusion in it, can only be produced for a purpose. It cannot be compulsive. It cannot follow straight out of preconditions as given in observation. It is produced sometimes against knowledge. Nietzsche was right. Man needs illusions. The question and operates with illusions, because illusions are willful thinking. Willful thinking. Thinking of selves that want to deceive themselves because they feel bad if they do not deceive themselves. Beings that can think up something which has no basis in facts and in observations, but is thought up merely in order to feel the self better, for a matter of comfort. This a non-free being could never do. It is the main reason why no line of necessity, and be it the most complete one, could ever produce the idea, even the idea, of freedom. But on the contrary, any idea of freedom cannot be taken as an illusion in the sense of Spinoza and Nietzsche. This illusion is not an illusion, because it is the fact that produces illusions. Just by this fact we can produce illusions. If we wanted to produce the illusion of freedom in order to feel better, then we would, or truth, in order to feel better, as Friedrich Nietzsche assumed, then we would be very much on the wrong track. Because if we need to produce, in order to feel better, any idea, it is the idea of necessity. The idea of freedom is the most disturbing one. The fact that psychologically the isolated individuals feel so fine in a mass movement in our time, as soon as the mass movement is organized, shows that the individual has its best feelings when it thinks that it is stronger than it is, when it can think and feel that it is part of a bigger whole and participates in a gigantic thing. The individual that wants to become a person, that means would accept and produce the idea of freedom, is in for trouble. Because no psychoanalyst will be able to tell him anymore that he is just frustrated and that all his trouble comes from his being a hidden genius. He will be able to tell him, I am no hidden genius, especially in that field you assigned to me. You just assigned to me to write stories now, but I am no story writer. You see, I am a person, and when I write a story, there exists other persons in the world, and they have their say too. What a man can or cannot do is not up to his dear individuality, it is up to other persons too. There is no hidden necessity in me that could, if it only would be freed and liberated, could drive me into being a genius. No, there isn't. Because I have not that gift. This man, in all other fields of life, is in for trouble. As soon as he accepts the idea of freedom, he has to accept the interchange and checking between persons. That means he will become unable to create for himself a very nice little dream world in which he can live and think fine of himself. He will also be unable to join a mass movement and get the idea that now the greater necessity of mankind, for instance, is moving right through him and inflating him to something bigger than he is. He will have to stick to his given measure, this sorry guy. So to produce the idea of freedom as an illusion in order to feel better would be just foolish, and nobody is that foolish. That what Erich Fromm calls the escape from freedom, psychologically, is not even an escape. It is an ingrained tendency of all men not to think, because to engage in thinking means freedom, and freedom means danger. In that way, we are not born for thinking, and we resist it most. So it would be funny to explain the idea of freedom as an illusion that man produces because otherwise he couldn't survive. He produces, on the contrary, and in parentheses, the idea of freedom could not be produced out of necessity. But what we do, we produce out of freedom the idea of necessity constantly. We have to, in order to be able to judge physical phenomena, and by physical phenomena I mean also mental phenomena, namely all phenomena that are not produced by us, that come into existence by themselves, or are given, to say it more critically. But we produce this idea of necessity as a metaphysical idea, as an overall idea, by willful thinking, in order to feel absolutely contained in the world, in fate and in the run of things, we feel more secure by doing so. If we follow the idea of freedom, we feel most insecure. But the instinct of survival, now of survival of the individual, in the sense of feeling better, produces or forces us again and again into the hypothesis of absolute necessity, because only then we feel secure. So it is just the other way around, as we formerly thought. We are faced with, in spite of all our monistic longings, we are faced with the essential existential experience of man, that he cannot explain himself out of a set of phenomena that are contrary to himself. If he tries to, he will just abolish his main value, namely being different, being a person. That the hypothesis of unity of the world must always be made again is a working necessity for all scientific striving. Interconnections can best be discovered by inferences that come from an assumed set of interconnections. This assumed set is rejected as soon as it doesn't deliver results of explanation anymore. That is a way of strict science. So as an hypothesis, necessity is always necessary in science. But to accept necessity as a metaphysical idea means to pretend to know something we cannot possibly know, namely the absolute law of being. Freedom. The idea of freedom does not pretend to know the absolute law of being. The idea of freedom contains only the statement that, on the one hand, on the one side, there is a definite experience of metaphysical nature, the self-experience of men in their communication, as we developed it in the last session, in communication of the self with the other self, by myself being able to confront myself, to identify my other self with the self of the other, and vice versa. This self-experience is the one thing that freedom, the idea of freedom, assumes. It can be checked, because everybody has this experience. On the other hand, it assumes that there is an entirely other and different set of phenomena, which we call physical phenomena. Those phenomena seem to move according to necessary laws. We can never observe in this set of phenomena inventions, illusions, language, works of art produced. They just do not yield it. So we suppose, according to the idea of freedom, that they move according to certain laws of necessity. That does not mean that necessity is their absolute truth. We are from this point of view ready. If Mr. Heisenberg comes and tells us that certain particles in the atom seem to move by chance and not by law, and says then to us that is a proof that there is, perhaps a proof that there is freedom in the atom, then we will laugh as philosophers, because chance is not freedom. Before, this particle hasn't talked to us and told us that it just moves this way now because it likes it better. Up to then, we will not believe that this particle has freedom. We might say to the scientist, you are in a jam, either. The laws of necessity according to which we operate in science seem not to hold true anymore in that case. That might be because you do not yet know them. You do not have the means of observation. But even if it were so, that on the basis of all is chance, well, we have never said that necessity is the absolute law even for physical phenomena. Then there might be some other patterns which you can observe. It does not concern us. So neither freedom nor necessity is for the free philosophical man the absolute law of being. We do not know anything about being itself. We are not that clever. But we want to stick, instead of explaining being and accepting over all explanations of being which always show themselves in the end to be some superstition, like all being is necessity, or all being is that and that and that. We are afraid that in those attempts, the truth we know gets lost. By pretending to know more than one knows, that what one knows gets lost. The only thing we really know is this distinction between two absolutely different sets of phenomena which we both call beings, but which cannot be identified. At least we have not identified them. Nobody has. Nobody has explained thinking out of motion. Neither has anybody, except the theologians, explained motion out of thinking. Only God, when he speaks his word, then the word realizes into the world. He only has to think, and this thinking transposes itself, so to speak, into the other set of being which we know. We have no such idea. We know only that by a strange arrangement of matters which we cannot really see through, but it is a fact, that we can not only invent ideas, that means think things up, but can then also go ahead and force physical things to move according to our ideas. We can realize ideas. We can make them reality. That we can do. But that does not mean we can do that only because we ourselves are contained in the world and not entirely contained in the world. We seem to be the connection. How we make this connection? How? By willful and planning thinking. The whole mental world, which is our own and which is a physical one too, is set into motion. How this world then sets the natural physical world we are, the body, in well-considered, purposeful motion. How the actions of this body then can interfere with given lines of occurrences in nature and change them around. We do not know how this whole process really goes. We only know that this process exists. We do not even know enough about what is today called the unity of the spirit, of spirit and matter, or let's say the mental and the material phenomena. Let alone that we know how the connection between ideas and thinking and the mental phenomena and then so forth really works. But we know that we are this process and that we are this procedure because we are doing it constantly. So the question is, if we want to approach this unknown factor X, which we call the person, we cannot approach it by a concept of thinking, which comes straight out of a concept of motion, as Descartes' concept did. To find this thinking, as he did, the thinking which is the motion of the brain, does not mean that we have found ourselves. We have not found the thinker. We have only proven, and Descartes has proven, is that thoughts exist. If thoughts exist, they could still be a funny kind of emotion we become aware of in a way, and we are only functions of this motion. But we know exactly that we produce thoughts, which is quite another proposition. We produce ideas by thinking. That means we do something. So when Descartes said, I think and so I am, it had to be a failure. That way we cannot even prove that we are, let alone that I am I, which is the important question in philosophy. We are not so much interested if we are or not are. We are anyhow. Nobody doubts it. The question is only what that being is, as what we are. Even if we are only all dreams, and we are all dreams, and we are dreams, and we are. So that is not the question. The question is what we are, who we are. And Descartes wanted to answer this question. He wanted to state, I am I. That means I am a self. But I cannot prove that by thinking. Thinking does not prove that I am a self. If I were not a self, I could not think, that much is sure. But the fact that I think, vice versa, does not prove that I am a self. I still haven't gotten hold of this self. So perhaps if we could say, I do, and so I am, I. What would we mean, have to mean by doing then? the different approach which first was tried by existentialist philosophy, opposed to former philosophy, but was tried in vain, tried according to the results of modern art, some very activistic one, to formulate everything in terms of action, and then find men's essential activity, but activity is motion. Activity is only busybodiness. Activity can never show the agent. Nevertheless, this approach was right because it aims at an attempt to define the essence of men in terms of doings. After we found out how little we really know, namely philosophically, about the world, of which we were so sure we know it's a universe, that it moves all to necessity, we believed all those nice things, we were so sure we knew so much. Now we know. We know a lot scientifically, almost infinitely much. We cannot, not a single person can learn it all. But the more we know only things and how to handle things, the more we know, the less we know about nature and about the world. And we thought we know everything about it. So there our philosophical knowledge has tremendously diminished by the increase of our scientific knowledge. It's a different kind of knowledge. The more we know about this world there, the more unsure we have to feel. Because the less we really understand of it, it becomes more and more miraculous, instead of more and more explained. So our only way was now to try to make sure of the things we can make sure of first. Namely, to ask ourselves the questions, what the hell are we doing? What are we doing? And how are we doing it? Because this observation should lead us to some knowledge about ourselves, perhaps. So I sometimes think when somebody says to me, how do you do? I were able to say to him as an answer, I am doing, because I am not sure that I am, but I would like to be doing. Now what's the difference between activity, acting, and doing in this sense? To do, can we say that anything in the world except man does, as long as the action takes place within a line of other actions?